Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. And today, we're going to have a return visit from your Powell County jailer, Travis Crabtree. And he's going to join us today to tell us a little bit about the progress on the construction at the jail, how things are coming along, and why did we undertake this big project at the jail? What's the benefit for us?
At the time, there was a need in this region for a larger jail to house county inmates that didn't have jails. You have Menifee County, Bath County, Estill County, you know, that didn't have jails and were having to house their inmates four or five counties away and pay a pretty hefty price. We were getting ready to be in that same boat because of our population of inmates, and we had decided to talk to the magistrates and the court about the possibilities of building a jail, and we did so, and the numbers are going to be great in the future. We just recently got approval for a 100-bed SAP program, which is going to be bringing a lot of state money into the county. We're getting ready to enter into a 50-bed agreement with Estill County, which is going to amount to about $850,000 annually. You know, it's when you start talking budgets and general fund contribution to a jail across the state, a lot of jails are a nuisance to a county. They bleed it dry of money. It's a problem that a lot of counties are facing that, fortunately, we're not having to. And in the near future, it's going to be a plus to free up some of the community's tax dollars and be able to use it out in the community on ball fields and whatever else that the county needs that they're not having to put into the jail. So we're pretty excited about that coming up within the next 30 or 45 days opening.
And I guess the budget shortfalls that you're talking about, that would be the reason why you're seeing a lot of these counties around us and throughout the state closing their jails.
Yeah, if they're not closing them on their own, then their Department of Corrections are closing them because they're not meeting up to standards as far as when they were built. The way they were built back in the 80s and early 90s is not acceptable now just because of design flaws. And so we were at a pivotal point, and, you know, thank goodness the court seen the vision and seen the need that we jumped ahead out in front of a lot of the counties in our region. And it's going to benefit Powell County tremendously in the next upcoming years.
Well, just in the time since you've been jailer, I know there's been, you know, the jail, as you talked about, is a drain financially to a lot of general funds, and it's certainly been the case in the past for us. Just very expensive upkeep and things like that. And how have you seen the role of the jail financially change in the time since you've been here?
Again, when I come in 2011, the county was putting in almost $700,000 out of general fund just to run the jail and operate the jail. When I came in, my staff and I had a meeting. We immediately start putting into place plans to cut that. And we've cut that all the way down to somewhere between $95,000 and $105,000 from general fund contribution. And that's been through soliciting state inmates, our SAP program, which we're currently at 50 beds right now, taking on transportation for other counties. You know, I have a staff that buys into that, and they work for a little bit of nothing, and they still take pride in their job and what our goal is. And hopefully we'll make it to where that is a profession and not just a job for somebody. We're hoping to get to that point, and the staff is bought in, and they're in it for the long haul. So we're pretty excited. We've came leaps and bounds already, but we've got some other places to go, and we're going to get there very shortly.
Well, I mean, and that's a huge difference when you talk about going from knocking on the door of $1 million contribution to around $100,000, what that frees up to aid other departments or just to make improvements to what we currently have and to handle things that come up within the community without pushing that burden onto the taxpayer, that makes a huge difference. And as far as the jail, the upgrade to the jail that we're seeing right now, what kind of fiscal projections are there as far as how this, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, you know, could make a difference in that kind of a financial impact?
You know, the first thing you look at is and I'm sure the community has asked, why have we invested money in building a jail? Why would we spend $5 million to build a jail that what most people seem to think is a dead expense? When in return, what it really means for the county is we're going to be not only saving money from housing our inmates at other places, we're going to be housing for other counties, housing for more state inmates, you know, and we're not bringing in lifers or hard-time criminals. You know, the inmates we're going to be bringing in mostly are either county inmates from other counties or inmates that are nearing the end of their sentence that are in the SAP program and just have to finish that SAP program to get released back to their families. These people won't be seen going back and forth to court. They won't be seen outside the jail. They're there for a 7-month stint, and then we'll send them out and bring some more in. So really, the biggest gain that we're going to see through the jail is just the financial part of it. I mean, it's a business. You know, back in the day, jail was just a place where you stopped by and played a hand of cards. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how it was back then.
Sure.
And the people back then done a great job running jail. The state has stepped in and said that if these county jails are going to hold state inmates, they're going to go by certain guidelines. I'm on the board of directors for the Department of Local Facilities for the jail, and I'm on the board that facilitates what jail standards are throughout the state. And what they're trying to do is just ensure that the community is as safe as it can be, housing people that can't function in society right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've done that. We've made all the improvements to the jail. And in return, they're sending us inmates. I mean, right now I'm having to turn them down every day because we don't have the room. And looks like we're within 30 to 45 days of opening. And I look for us to be full within that week, the opening week. So.
Well, and you talked about how the jail used to be just a completely different animal than it is now, and it certainly was. You know, you've seen not just counties around us close theirs down and a need to house inmates from all over, but in our county and in our region as a whole, you're seeing this explosion of people who are required to be incarcerated that maybe 10, 15 years ago it wasn't the case. The drug boom and then the associated crime that comes with that, I'm sure, has been a heavy load for not just all the county jailers, but everybody just throughout this eastern part of the region.
Yeah, a few weeks ago I was in my office looking at some numbers of the current inmates we have, and it was roughly 90% of our inmates were in their own drug-related charges, which is pitiful. I mean, And it affects every family. Nobody's exempt from it. You know, there's just an opioid problem. There's we're starting to see a lot of meth and heroin in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a totally different outlook than I did when I first came in. When I first came in, I wanted to put them in jail, hold them there, you know, feed them bread and water.
Right.
But the realistic part of it is, if we want our community to get better, we want our society to get better, we have to change those people. We can't go to church on Sunday and try to change each other. We have to change the people that have serious problems, and they're right there in jail. You know, our 7-month drug program is top-notch, one of the top in the state, which we're very proud of. And we get emails, calls, letters every day of people that graduate that program. They're back with their families, still doing good, spending time with their kids. And until, you know, we talk about gaps and how things run in cycles and how 10 years ago we didn't see this kind of drugs here. We didn't see right. The problem we have. And this will fade out, but the only way it's going to fade out is if we control the problem with our police departments, which they're doing a great job of doing that. They're working every day trying to intercept these drugs and keep them out of our community. And then we have to rehabilitate the people that are in the system already, because if we don't change them, then we're setting ourselves up for failure.
Well, I know, you know, what you said, and we've had multiple people on the show this year who've talked about the opioid crisis and the heroin crisis and the various drugs that are killing the community. And the one thing that I think is interesting that almost universally every one of them has said is something changed their perspective. That, you know, I used to think it was black and white and cut and dry, and then whether they started interacting with volunteer programs like yourself, start working at the jail, or you know, the judge has said several times, you know, since he's come into office, the complete change of heart he's had on so many different things. And you know, I think that's one thing that I hope we can do with the show is bring those voices to people and show, and I'm sure you could speak to it for hours, the people who have come through our detention center and have come out and changed people. And it's exactly like you said, that there's far more benefit to getting these people back into the community and being productive members of the community than there is just locking them up and throwing away the key and paying for them for the rest of their life, or locking right. them up every month, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these people aren't going away. You know, you can either return them back to society the way they were, or try to change them and put them back into society the way that you want them to be, and give them every opportunity to. Now, am I for wasting money on programs that these people take advantage of and it makes no difference? No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't think you should give any. I think everyone should have to work for what they get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people could stop by and see our program, you know, to see that they get up at 6:30 in the morning, they make their bunks, they clean their barracks, they start class, they're in class from 8:15 to 5:15. If they could just see the structure and what it teaches, at least they work for everything they get. I mean, yeah, we give them classes and opportunities and credit for good time on for their credit time served. You know, they get opportunities, but they work for every bit of it. And, you know, if they're willing to work for it, we're willing to provide it. And when that day stops, and we won't provide it anymore.
Well, and I know the SAP program has been a huge success here in rehabilitation for a lot of people. And, you know, something that you think about beyond the economic is you start bringing people in from these surrounding counties, you get them on the right track, they go back to their county, and maybe they become a resource to help people within their community. I mean, it can have a larger impact than just Stanton, Clay City, and Slade.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like my mom used to tell me about the rain. It always has to stop and start somewhere. So, you know, if it starts here and it finishes out somewhere else, at least the job got done. And, you know, we're a small community. We're neighbors. We're friends. You know, our families stretch across the county. It's not like, you know, it's easy to say, let's just give up on them. Mm-hmm. That's easy for people to say that until it's your family right. or it's my family. And then, you know, you want to help as much. We have to have that same attitude toward every family's member. It doesn't matter their name, whether they're rich, they're poor, because it affects everyone. So we just try to do our best to treat everybody the same, get them on the right track, give them an opportunity to get back with their families. Now, if they take advantage of that, then great. If they don't, we're one and done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just but – you know, I want to commend the court. You know, when you have the magistrates and the judge and people sitting back looking at building a facility like we had, like we're getting ready to open, you know, it takes a lot of guts to spend oh, that sure. kind of money and to stick their neck out on the line like that. When we done the feasibility study, I mean, it showed our need. And when I met with Wallace Taylor from Estes County the other day, these other counties, they want to be in our shoes. You know, they didn't take advantage of it when we did, when the opportunity struck, and now they're paying for the consequences. And I feel bad for them. I want to help them as much as we can, and we're going to as long as we can. But it's going to benefit us, and I hope that the community sees the benefit of it.
Well, Travis, thank you for coming on with us today. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having a progressive vision for the future of Powell County. And, you know, even within the detention centers, we can always make huge leaps forward. So But thank you again, Travis. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, especially after you get opened up. You can come tell us how it's going.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, man.